Don't forget to suck some titties.
I'm a delusional being. By the way, recording this on February 7th, 2025. It is the 7th, right? Yeah. I don't know. Who keeps track of the days when your life is one big phase? Banks. Because, boy, this is going to bring me to the banks. Swiss, baby. But, yeah. You know, I was thinking about some. Kind of a, I don't know if they call it psychopathy. Or if they call it, I hate the term parasocial. I don't even know what the fuck that means. I do believe I am a delusional person, right? I mean, who else wears shades on the inside? I am a delusional person to a point where I think it's beneficial. I think people look at me kind of insane sometimes. People probably roll their eyes. People are like, man, you know, this dude's just wasting his time on certain things. And I do think from a spiritual standpoint, not to sound like that guy, oh Jesus, oh my conscience. You know what you're missing in life? Your conscience. these spiritual gurus online, I swear to God. You know, my girlfriend, she's not to go too off the wagon here. She's a big fan, though. Wagon wheel, Darius Rucker, wants to move to London. Which apparently, it's weird that you have to apologize for wanting to live anywhere else but the main hub for, you know, what you do for a living. Like, hey, I like other places other than Tennessee. And they're like, come here, Hootie. But, you know, my girlfriend, she's actually very passionate about, you know, being into thinking bigger than yourself and stuff like that. And I think I am. I'm not that deep into it. I think I naturally just kind of am a loose spirit and a loose cannon. And that boom, boom, there's a lot of loose cannons in there. Cannonball. I'm more loose cannon than Nick in there. oh. He took Nick at Night to a whole new level. he did it to create his own drumline. I know. But this is what I mean. I'm delusional. I'm sitting here trying to, you know, get into, you know, why I'm kind of this weird, odd person. And then here I am talking about Nick Cannon's cannonballs and the ladies. And then Cam Newton is kind of going off the wagon. You know, every episode, I guess, the Special Forces show, is he's like revealing and being vulnerable. Like, yeah, you know, I feel guilty for having kids out of wedlock. I feel that shame, that pressure, I think he said. Basically, like, you know, you feel it. You feel the angst that comes around with it, you know, that judgment. Even though it's weird how people will be, like, just months earlier, be, like, so confident in the way they live and, like, oh, you know, you just don't understand, you know, when you're a man of my status and all this stuff financially, like, you know, we are meant to just spread our seed. And then all of a sudden it's on national television and you want this empathetic, you want some sympathy from people when literally you try to rationalize it just months ago. And you live like it for a long time. I'm not shaming the guy, but it is kind of odd. But yeah, you know, the spiritual stuff online, you got to be careful about, or the self. You know, everything is deeper than what it is. My girlfriend, she was listening to something earlier. And, you know, look, once your algorithm knows you like one thing, they think you like everything. And even sometimes, she'll be scrolling through, so she'll be like, oh my gosh, shut the fuck up. She'll be scrolling, like, you know, and I'm like, damn, I thought you were trying to receive the healing, you know? She's like, I'm just, you know, I'm tired of these people that don't put in the work. They want to talk about this and that. I'm like, well, damn. I'm kind of like, she's like, I don't need that negative energy. Like, I don't want this, like, you know, these people out here talking shit and they haven't put in the work. It's like this negative aura. And I'm like, baby, when you do your show, you could be all the positive. Let me just continue doing my negativity on here. Yeah, but, you know, it's people, they're just saying those key term words, those words that ignite out of people, our consciousness. Like, you're trying to sound like a Willow Smith clone. I gotta say, I have accidentally gotten across some Willow music. I'm not going to lie, she's pretty damn good. She's got a nice voice, got some catchy songs, you know. It's not Fat, Juicy, and Wet, but, you know, it's a, wait a minute. My conscience, she definitely has that always talking about her conscience type of thing, which, hey, you know what? If it works, it works. But speaking of conscious, conscious rap, Doechii won album of the year. You know, congrats. My denial is a river of failed subscribers. damn, that got dark. Nah, but you know what? It's a, it is to me. Look, I know I'm going to sound like a Drake stan when I say this. Not the turns back into Drake and Kendrick, but obviously Kendrick won like five of the shits. Like best rap song, best music video, all that good stuff for Not Like Us. And it's weird how someone that wants no parts of the Grammys thinks it's shit. And you can definitely tell he's not still really a fan of it, but he's going to take it because it's like, it's to prove a point that you guys can... You know, it's like Macklemore when he beat J. Cole and all that shit. Like, whole thing behind... Or he beat Kendrick or J. Cole. And that was a whole thing, right? And then you got Kendrick winning and then going back to the beef where Drake, you know, said, someone go hand me a Grammy right now. Kendrick just opened his mouth. Someone go hand him a Grammy right now. And people are saying that to shit on Drake. I think also what people are misinterpreting is it's kind of proving Drake's side of the point, but it doesn't beat the fact that that song was the song of the year. He destroyed Drake with it. But there is this thing when now in certain artists, they just, it's like when Frank Ocean drops any song, the Frank Ocean stans come out, you know? And it could kind of be same with Kendrick where now Kendrick is starting to be more active again. And it kind of proves Drake's point to that extent that, oh, you know, Kendrick opens, he's sending a message. So we got to hand him a Grammy because it's this fake, we care about black music and rap music and stuff like that. So the Grammys is now overcompensating when... It's kind of like their fuck you to Drake in a way because of his ongoing thing with UMG for them potentially promoting it or, you know, for them using bots to enhance the streams and the likes and all that stuff. It kind of also like it kind of makes it look disingenuous. So, yeah. But hey, it was deserved. I'm not sitting here saying Not Like Us. But it's not enough. but, you know, so I officially, you know, I talked about it. And I know on the last episode I posted the Crunch Fitness one. I didn't edit that video. But I'm still learning this shit. I gotta say, man, like, it's, you know, I know more doing it for 4 or 5 hours one night, fucking around with it, watching tutorials. Because I don't want to sit there and watch 5 or 6 hours and not apply it in real time. I'm kind of, you know, let me just start small. Let me do clips. And then let me look up, how do you extract? How do you make sure you... And now, you know, I was able to add some text, how to do right formats. Like, it is kind of cool. Like, once you start getting, you know, you start building a little bit of confidence. I still got to say this shit's hard as hell. Like, I will never... I'll say this to the end of days. Maybe it's just because my natural state, like being an editor, editing something is 5 times harder than doing the thing. I will say that. Now, maybe when you're good at it and it's second nature, you don't have to overthink what you're doing. You know what you want to do. You're able to do it. But like, bro, like just creating an intro, bro, like how much time consuming is to line everything up and everything, bro, like. I did some research beforehand, and look, I'm proud of the fact that I put out my first clip. You know, is it the greatest clip? Is it, like, so well manufactured and stuff? Not particularly, but it's starting the process that I'm very excited about, you know? like, I'm really excited. You know, this is the first time I've been this, like, excited about this in a long time. You know, and I think it's showing. Like, I'm really, like, engaged. I'm back to the energy drinks. I'm locked in. It's where everything just kind of happens at once, you know. You just kind of, I will have nothing but respect. Like, but don't get me wrong. The second I can afford one of you editors, it's happening. like, it's happening, man. Hey, you know what? I'll cut this out as a clip. With my 85 subscribers as we speak, I make no money off of this. But I am hiring an editor. shows how self-absorbed I am. I'm like, look, I know no one's here now, but if you were to edit my videos and we were to relay the message I'm trying to send across and I was able palpable in an entertaining way, you know, we can make this work, you know, split it 90-10. that's that JBP splits with Rory Mal. but yeah, like honestly, but editing is really half the battle. Like, there's a minimum amount you have to be able to do to make decent videos, to make a decent quality content of what you're doing. But you could be the greatest editor in the world and have nothing to speak about, and people, there may be a cap to that. But you could be very captivating. You could talk for hours and hours, no, but if you're not able to package it or put it in a consumable form, it's going to be very, very difficult to reach the audience you want. I want to get to the point where I have the issue of other channels clipping my shit and they're making money off so I can sue them. that's how you know you made it. It is weird. Like when you see public, like when you see these big shows and these big channels and you'll be watching clips, you're like, wait, this isn't even the person's channel. I want to get to that fucking point where I'm not even making my, where I don't even have to do it. They're promoting me. And I get, you know, I don't know, you know, there's this weird thing where the whole YouTube copyright thing is kind of weird. Because I saw an issue that, you know, I've been on this like monetization education thing. You know, my fears is like if I were to get monetized, right? How quickly it would be easy for me to fuck that shit up. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, cause I'll be saying some wild shit, but now that I can edit this shit out, you know, you know, maybe I could cover my bases a little bit. But there are people out there where they're creating second channels. Like, when their one channel gets so big, I guess it's the point of it. One channel gets so big, they'll start clipping stuff from that channel, putting on another channel. But the original content's already on one. So, but if they just put on another channel, they could get more pay. And it's kind of, I guess, double dipping. Then there's, like, where there's people that create channels. No faces. It's like, you'll see Bill Burr is a big one. He has a bunch of people that are creating clips, like Bill Burr University. Hey, Billy Bitch Tits, where they take clips because he doesn't do it himself, except very, very rarely he'll put some on his channel. And they'll do all the clips, and in a weird way, he could come down and copyright them and all, but even though they're making some money off of it, probably, the promotion it does for his show is probably not worth whatever he would attack him for. Like, he's like, you know what? You guys can make a few pennies off of it. You're just bringing more traffic to my show, and I don't really have to do the work to do this shit. You know? That's what it's about. When you're so big where people are doing the clips for you, you know? I think I, like, you know, I'm a hardworking guy, but I'll be honest, I don't want to work that damn hard, you know? But yeah, enough complaining. It's Friday, you know. I'm excited. I'm very excited, you know. It's starting to get to that time of the year where, you know, love is in the air. Cupid's poking your assholes. And, you know, I really need Cupid to kind of put a little fire on my ass because I'm Hades-ing this unemployment. That was god-awful. I'm so sorry. And you know what? I was talking to someone. Ever since I cut my hair, I know this may be mental and maybe in your head. This is what I mean by delusional. This, the whole theme of this episode is I am a delusional person that is almost could care less to an extent of how the outside of, you know, where you should be in life, and you're this delusional being like, yeah, I know what you're worried about at certain age, and this is what I tried to tell, like, some people that are a little bit younger than me. Like, in my experience, too many people put way too many, like, deadlines on what age you are and where you should be and all that stuff. And all that does, it limits what you may dabble into and finding your true passion of what you enjoy. Not to get too deep in the weeds here. I'm getting high on my own supply. And, you know, there's this pressure of, oh, you know, I got to listen to my dad says, you know, I got to, you know, I don't want to do that. He advised. And, you know, I get it. But you're going to be doing years of something that you never even thought to yourself if that's what you want to do. And, sure, you may wait it out, work some BS jobs, but you may have the flexibility where you don't feel that pressure that, I've invested so much time and resources and money into this that me not continuing doing this is not going to work out in my favor. And I'm always a believer that there's only so much you could put into something if you're double dipping. That's why I don't believe in multitasking. Sure, there's people that could do it, but there's always going to be a sacrificing component than when you go all in. And you're really fully dedicated to something. You know, we praise the Michael Jordans for saying, fuck everything else in life except my vices and basketball. I'm not going to say he said fuck family, but family was not, you know, the, you know, main priority. And you know what? The media loves eating that shit up. And I believe the media, like sports media, they love when they hear about, you know, Michael Jordan had no stable marriage, he gambling issue, his kids are growing up, driving on train tracks. They love eating that shit up because, like, you know what? He won championships. It's like, if you describe that to your dad or mom and your kids grew up with the entitlement that his kids are having, would that be something you'd be proud of? And I think it's honestly because it's a bunch of dweebs in the media. They glorify that. Like, this is what it takes to be a championship. It's like, you really don't have to be like that to be a champion. I will say, being a loose cannon, being unstable. And I'm not going to say they're unstable, but being not tied down to a certain pre-notion way of living. And living on your own accord will probably make you more freer and more opportunity. And you can operate in a more self-sufficient way. But it's a bunch of these dweebs in the media that, you know, they glorify this. So you got younger people growing up thinking it's all about fuck everything else. It's all about this one thing. It is odd to me. It's these noobs, they glorify it because it's a way to make something easily consumptual, right? Because LeBron, oh, he's not a killer. It's because you know what? oh, the difference between him, Michael was willing to say, throw away his family and divorce. And LeBron's like, you know, I kind of want to be with my kids. I kind of want to see, I want to have this opportunity, this way I paved, to have, to play with my kids in the NBA. Or at least for them to have an opportunity. You can say what you want about Bronny, but you can see the contrast of one mentality versus another based off, do you think if Bronny James was in that situation, do you think he responds like Marcus? Do you think he comes out the gates and says, do you know who you're, I'm LeBron's son? No, he probably doesn't. He probably withholds all that without, now after he gets arrested, you know, it's a whole can of worms they may have to deal with, but I think it goes to show that that behavior, I think, I know this is a crazy take. I think the reason why when you watch that cam on Marcus Jordan saying that, because it's shown that people will adulate you and reward you for being disoriented and fucking up your life for their own interests. And so that's why he has no disregard for that situation. I know that's kind of crazy and out there, and I don't want to make a bigot, but Marcus Jordan has had a lot of instances from when he was a college player at UCF. There was some stuff that happened. He's been caught, I think a year or so, months ago, on TMZ, snorting some coke at a pool table. Or at a pool. The man literally was dating his dad's ex-teammate. Wait, hold on. Ex-teammate's wife. Ex-wife. Who still kept her last name, still keeps it, so she can have financial and business and media opportunities and fame, so she keeps that Pippen in her last name, even though they haven't been married in quite some time. And she could be with anyone, and she chooses to be with her husband's ex-teammate, the best player of all time, generation, whatever you want to say, his son. And his son was not a proven basketball player, was not great at it, didn't really have a whole lot, you know, didn't have accolades for himself, but she chose that. And when you were being rewarded for being Michael Jordan's son, because if he wasn't Michael Jordan's son, do you think he's getting Scottie Pippen's ex-wife? Probably not. She's for the streets. But he can't even play street ball. I'm not shitting on the guy, but you see when we reward, it starts at the top. He saw that if you just are good at this and you provide this, that, and the other, you can act any way you want and you can always use that card. Compare that to Bronny. It's literally in the G League getting shit on by the media, by people online. He can't play this. Sure, he may have gotten an opportunity because of his dad, but he's still out there putting effort, really at least showing that he's trying to prove that he's worthy. You would never hear him say, I'm LeBron's son. That's not something he would just come out and outrightly say. So, yeah. Oh, there's my spill. I know I kind of talked about it in the last episode, but you know, everything's worth repeating if the price is right. There was a video earlier I saw on, I think it was off the channel, Too Lazy to Try. There was this female comedian. She was on stage, and you know, I'll be honest, I don't really watch stand-up. When I was younger, I used to love watching. My dad, he would play like Jeff Foxworthy, Jim Gaffigan. You know, my brother would watch some Dave Chappelle stuff. You know, some Chris Rock. You know, pretty familiar big stand-up. Now, Comedy Central stuff would come on. You know, whatever. But, you know, I really actually like watch stand-up. Like, that DVD of like a 59-minute special actually meant something. Nowadays, it's like, they come and they go. No one would go to a VHS and pay No one would go to a store and pay $20 for a comedy special. This is not happening. That stuff's not happening these days. But, like, we watched the Blue Collar Comedy Tour with Ron White, Billy Engvall, Larry the Cable Guy, Jeff Foxworthy, that whole thing. And, but nowadays, everything is just short. Even my favorite comedians that have, like, pretty good stand-ups. And I know most from podcasting, like, they have pretty good stand-up. But most of the stuff you see is, like, shorts, clips, and God forbid, and crowd work. I honestly do not enjoy watching crowd work. I really don't. I'm going to be honest. Like, if I paid to go to a comedy club, or I paid to go see someone, and they just started doing 30 minutes of asking people in the stands questions, I'm not going to be too happy. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I paid for you to... I hate to be like, I paid, you know, give me what the fuck I want. But I paid for you to fucking have something ready. You know, tickets aren't cheap. I spent fucking... I had to leave the house at 4 o'clock today. Drive through 2 hours of traffic, come in the middle of the city, find parking, come to see you, listen to 4 or 5 other comedians I don't really give a fuck about to come see you, and you're going to come out, do a couple minutes of something, and be like, so you, what do you do? You're a dentist? Oh, I'm pretty sure her husband's pretty happy about the oral hygiene. And then just start asking them like a Q&A, and then it might lead to something. Like, I do not want to fucking see that shit. I'm sorry. I don't find that, me personally, like, I don't find that the most entertaining. Now, if something naturally happens, you're talking about someone interrupts you, and then you have, like, that's one thing. But to sit there and observe and just, like, try to pass time by asking people about shit, like, I find that I would be kind of pissed off. I'm going to be very honest with you. So, but there was this lady. This is what happened. Like, if you are going to do crowd work, I would just say, you better make sure you're really fucking good. You better make sure you are on your feet. You better make sure you've, you know, had some ghost energy drinks, you know? You got to be on your toes for that. And I guess she made some joke or something about a guy looking like he was with his boyfriend when he was just there with a friend. He wasn't gay. He said something back, and then it wasn't even like I heard it. Like, he didn't say anything too rude, but the crowd was like, oh. And she, like, got in a squatting, crouching position and just looked at him like, hey, we don't need this negative energy in it. Like, I'm not even kidding. She said, we do not need this negative energy in here. Your negativity, this is my last show of the weekend. Now I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? Like, what the dude responded with did not equate to you expecting this. If anything, she could have easily came back with something decent and just, like, ended the whole thing. Or just made a subtle, she didn't have any, make a simple, subtle comment. But, like, lecturing is getting on her knees. And then starting to scream. Like, people like you are what's fucking wrong. You and your negativity. This is my last show of the weekend. Like, who the fuck are you? You know, that whole thing. And I'm just listening, like, I knew nothing about the girl. Apparently, she's a current girlfriend of Luis Gomez. He said her name. I think it was, like, Maggie something. And some fucked up contact I didn't know about is during their roast of Legion of Skanks, they probably did or whatever. Shane Gillis, part of the roast, said, hey, isn't it fucked up? Luis brought his ex-girlfriend to come here, and not his current girlfriend. That just shows how fucking unfunny she is. Like, and I'm like, god damn. Now, typically in these roasts, they do, like, you know, they typically don't go there, because it's like, that's kind of an awkward one to go home and have to answer to, because everyone's going to see it. It's, you know, it's public. How do you deal with that? That's the problem when you date in your field. You're going to come across these conflict of interest where, sweetie, I love you, but that crowd out there is ruthless. They do not give a fuck that you're my girlfriend. They are not going to take it easy on you. It does not matter that they do not care that you're my girlfriend. I've taken 400 in the last five. If you know, you know. I need you to bust your ass or I'm going to start yelling at you. And that's the thing with this stuff is when you enter these fields where people want to be a part of fields like comedy or entertainment, and it's odd that you would want to be part of that and you can't handle feedback, comments. I'm not even saying you got to handle criticism, because I don't really believe that's necessary if you're like all in what you're doing. Like, criticism to an extent, maybe from peers and stuff like that. But I think also as fans and stuff, I'm not really one to be like, hey, you know, I think you should do this different. I don't like that. It's like, then don't come. Like, there's a point, like, I'm not changing everything to appease one person, because there's plenty of people that enjoy this. But sometimes fans, like, they tell you, like, oh, this is my opportunity to critique and feel like I can give someone feedback. And honestly, people don't want your feedback. Like, they're doing just fine without your feedback. Maybe from a peer that does it, or someone that's paying you, because they see it from, but just a couple individuals are unhappy about something, you can easily not come next time, or don't click the video, blah, blah, blah. But it's odd that you would want to be a stand-up, be an entertainer in front of people, and not be able to think on your feet, and not be able to be prepared for those situations. Because I think what people don't realize, I know this for a fact, they're prepared for this shit. Like, they actually practice, they write jokes in scenarios of, if a fat person were to heckle my show, sorry to use battle, but you know, fat person were to heckle my show, I have like five or six things off the top I could just attack them with. If a person who is ugly interrupts, or a person who, you know, has a weird hairstyle, or a person wearing this color hair, a person dressed like this, a drunk girl, that, like, they, like, a true, like, professional, some may not even have to, but at the very least, they are ready when that shit happens, because when you're up there by yourself, regardless if you have your fan base there, you're really susceptible to being embarrassed and having people look at you different if you were not ready. Like, you're supposed to be the person that's supposed to be the wittiest, the smartest, the quickest. Like, that's what they're paying you for, to be entertaining and interesting. But some people, they want all the glory, they want all, like, the lights and stuff, but they don't want to actually deal with potentially someone saying, I don't like you. And it's a pretty ruthless field to find that out. But, yeah. If I were to be, you know, I've never told this story, but it was not too long after I first started my podcast, probably about a half a year in, I was offered to be a part of a small, it wasn't a big network, it was literally like some local people, they did like a media company personally, they were starting an audio, like they did a few interviews of an audio podcast, and they reached out in an email saying if I'd be interested, because I knew a guy that I went to school with, and he's like, hey man, you know, I think you should talk with my friend. I did an interview. It was like pretty cool. I listened. I actually really enjoyed it. I was like, hey man, like, I think I live in there, you live in the area, we're at similar points. Like, I was more frequent. I was definitely more dedicated. It seemed like they did it for more of just like, oh, it's cool and trendy. I'm going to be honest. That's what it felt like. It doesn't mean they weren't good or didn't enjoy it, but it's definitely just standard. Hey, I'm going to interview people. Cool. But, you know, I tell you, like, hey, you know, let me know. They got back with me. They never really got back, but I tried to follow up, and they've been, hey, you know, I just don't think it's a right fit, you know. I was like, cool, you know, whatever. I'll just keep doing it myself, whatever. I thought it would be a cool opportunity to have like-minded people do it. And I checked randomly, you know, because I generally, like, no ill will. Like, they were cool people. Like, it wasn't anything personal. I checked to see, you know, how the show been doing. Literally, 2 weeks after they followed up with me and said, hey, you know, I'm good. Hey, you know, we're good for right now. You know, we're just going to continue doing what we're doing. Literally, after 2 weeks, they never posted another episode. And I was like, you know what? And that's why it's like sometimes like it feels like you're being rejected or something. And it was something like that where I'm like, okay. There's a reason. You know, it's kind of like God works in front of, it's almost like you're spiritual. God, oh God, here we go. You're conscious. my butt just got an emotional lift. Woohoo. Pew pew. And it really reminded me that not just, there's a lot of people that do this, but they don't really enjoy it. They don't really love it. And they did, like, the whole, like, they had a whole audio mix-in dude who did the editing and all that stuff. They would have done it. And there's sometimes people that are hopping on trends or it sounds cool, but they don't really, like, enjoy the, they enjoy one half but not the other. And I remember looking, I was like, It was like, what if I did join and then they would have just quit? And I would have had to deal with people that are on different schedules that, you know, we'll do it next week. Like, they're not as, like, excited. But, like, would that have deterred my motivation? Would that have deterred my, when you're relying on other things, when you're relying on other people or you're relying on other people's schedules? I told myself, if I ever have to rely on someone else's schedule to do this, I don't want to do it. Because part of this is very free-willing. You got to be really, like, dialed in. And I don't know if you've ever waited. Like, have you ever, like, went out with someone? A friend of yours? Hey, we're going to meet at 5 o'clock, right? You get there, like, hey, I'm running 40 minutes late. You're like, whatever. So they get there. Then it's like, you know, in between, you're just killing time. And it kind of, like, killed the buildup that, you know, you got ready, you met out there, you're ready, like, everything in momentum. And now you're, like, stalling your day. You're kind of like, now I'm kind of hungry. I'm not as energized. I fasted so I could be focused. And now, now I've eaten too much. I've snacked. I've wasted time. My head hurts looking too much at my phone. And now, like, your whole, like, vibe and mood is off. And That was one of those eye-opening things to me that it was like almost that revelation, like, you know what? That's good that didn't happen because I would have become discouraged. I would have been like, fuck, now I have to wait the posts and shit like that and they're going to edit. Well, and then if you work in a network, then you have to talk about like, hey, you know, are we going to censor stuff? Like, what are you going to cut out? You know, and I was generally open to the fact that, like, you know, I want to understand someone's point. I would try it their way and then kind of see, like, you know, how much their input helped the show or did it hinder it? Because sometimes when you're only doing something yourself, you only are focused on your way of doing it and you may be missing something for potential growth or a potential way of doing things. Like, I'm very excited to say I am, you know, breaking news here. I'm going to start having guests on the pod. Yes. I might even, like, you know, if I'm able to do, like, some online Zoom. Not Zoom. I hate to do that. But, like, legitimate, like, interview random people. But I want to legitimately just start, like, interviewing some people I know that I feel would add value. A different point of view. Like, more of a conversation where I don't have to do all the conversating. But yeah, I'm going to start, like, for real. I know I've said it, like, 7 or 8 times over the past 2 years. Like, I'm going to start having guests, but, like, it's for real now. Goddamn, I'm farting like crazy. But that's that type of... And the more and more I'm inspired, the more and more I'm dialed in. And I don't want to be around a negative aura. And that's one of those things, like, when you know you found a right partner, is when all the dust settles between differences and daily issues, when you both are just like, I hate being around people that just are negative. I hate being around people that criticize. I hate being around people that are just a suckage, a drainage. They require so much. They do nothing in return. And I like to think, you know, my girlfriend, she's always had desires to do something similar. And I told her, like, hey, look, I will start helping you out. And to be someone of service, to inspire people. And I'm looking at, like, 5 years from now when this thing is popping, baby. when this thing is popping and I'm at a different place in my life, but I still love it and enjoy it. And I'm, you know, making a good living. Or I'm at least making a living. Who knows what happened by then. Who knows? I may be at, like, 1,200 episodes. Like, and that's the thing. Like, some people do this, like, what I notice is when people say they want to start a podcast, the reason why most people quit is because they have set destination. Like, oh, you know, I want to reach X amount of followers, subscribers, listeners, X amount of episodes. Cool. Like, oh, I can't wait to get the episode. Like, I don't even think about it. I don't, like, and I think to do something like this, if you want to be consistent and do it as frequently, like, you got to really just... It like, oh shit, I'm at episode 500. Holy fuck. I remember I hit episode 300. And I was like, oh damn. Alright. I'm at episode 325 right now. It's cool. And the only reason why I talk about this, because one, I think it's important if you're into, you know, podcasting or vlogging. It does, you know, when you first do it, do not focus so much on it being perfect. Don't focus on, you know, the greatest logo and all that, because you need to get comfortable doing the thing. So then when you are ready to take it to the next level, you can worry about the logistics and this part comes naturally. Because that's the hardest part, getting comfortable doing this part. A lot of people can do this shit when they got a script or... when they got people to carry them or people to, like, get in front of a camera and talk for an hour. I promise you. It is humbling. It takes a while. I don't care if you're introverted or extroverted. The shit is not as easy to be constantly coming with ideas. You know? You got to be a caffeine head. I did watch Will Tennyson. He tried every type of natural remedy pre-workout stuff, like beet juice and baking soda, Nicorette gum. He said when he did the Nicorette gum, he said, like, holy, the pumps were insane. Now, I'm not a nicotine guy, never smoked or anything like that. And you probably shouldn't start doing that just for pumps either. But when you haven't had a pump in a while, it makes you think, like, you know, some beet juice and baking soda don't sound too bad. I'm chasing the pump, baby. That's a, you know, you're chasing the pump, you're chasing the high, you're chasing the numbers. Podcasting is just one big chasing that pump. Damn, that's actually a nice, quiet connection. Doing podcasting is like working out. When the numbers aren't there, when you're not seeing the veins, when you're not seeing the striations, when you're not feeling it, yeah, you know, it could be very discouraging. You want to put a hoodie on. You kind of just want to hide away. You know, you don't want anyone to recognize you. But when those numbers are in, when that money's going, when those veins, those striations, that pump is there, oh boy, there's nothing stopping you. I'm wearing a string tee. I'm dressing like I'm at a Crunch Fitness strip club. I ain't lying to you. I'm going back to the wife beaters. My evolution of gym outfits has evolved over time. I've went from when I first got lean, like a couple years ago, I started getting confident. I started wearing the wife beaters. And I didn't realize, because I'm a sweater. Those cotton things, when you sweat, bro, it gets, you know, it sticks to the fucking, to the seats and shit. You know, back when I actually worked out intensely. And I remember people kind of not looking at me, but, you know, being like, hey, man, can you not sweat that damn much? You're doing stationary inverted rows on a machine where it does the balancing for you. Why are you sweating so goddamn hard? The difference between how confident you feel in a machine compared to the free weights, you're like, oh, dude, I could pull this 240-pound full stack, you know, working the upper back. And then you go on an actual row machine where you actually have the metal compartment that you're pulling. And all of a sudden, it's like 180s. Like, my elbows are flaring. I was so lean at a point that I got bicep tendonitis, and I could literally see the tendonitis. I could see the bicep, like, grooving and flinching and twitching. Now, bro, like, I curled for fucking, like, 15 minutes straight, you know, doing speed. I didn't take many, but, like, I could not fucking get a pump. I could not feel the bicep. It just literally felt like I was just moving some fucking weight with no purpose. And it sucks. It's heartbreaking. There's nothing like worse than like when you had that mind-muscle connection and then you lose it. You're like, what the fuck is wrong with me? I know I pawned a few LBs, but Jesus, like, it's still there. And people are like, hey man, you're getting massive. And you're like, I don't feel massive. I feel smaller than ever. Oh god, but yeah, good times. I was thinking, but you know, I was listening to a Tyler Perry interview. I know, kind of odd, and I didn't even know this. Apparently his House of Pain is still syndicated. Like, they're up to like 400 episodes, but that's not near. Like, I remember growing up, you know, basically TBS, Peachtree, ABC, all that stuff. Like, the local, that stuff would show, like, House of Pain, you know, Seinfeld, for always, like, 5, 6, 7 o'clock during the day. It would just be all those shows. That's when they would air every day. You get home from school, there'd be a House of Pain on, or there'd be, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond, you know, the syndicated shows. You know, stuff that you would catch in passing, catch an episode, and be like, hey, you know, I'm going to go outside. There's something that misses about that. Like, I was driving out last night to get some coffee to come home and work on some stuff. And I was passing by, like, apartments and stuff. And I'm like, I know there's kids that live here. I know there's moms and dads and stuff. And I'm like, I doubt no one is at the TV like, oh, shit, it's 7 o'clock. Everybody Loves Raymond is on. I don't think there's anyone doing that. Obviously, with streaming and stuff, but I do think what cable TV, one thing I do miss about it is it brought some urgency to get shit done, and everything, like, everyone was on the same schedule. Syndication or streaming, I think, has made it where we have overnight stuff. We have people working at 4 or 5 a.m. on their own shit instead of everyone going to bed at 10, 11, 12. All waking up around the same time, which I think has contributed to more isolation and lack of community, is most people, like, there's no frequency of people going, waking up and going to bed. Like, everyone is on their own fucking world. And when you're on your own fucking world, it's harder to set times for, you know, not everyone gets off at the same time. Most people are working every day. Some people don't work the same days. Some people work at different times at night. Some people work overnight. Some people work more. Like, everything is all over the place. So it's very hard to gain time for a community when there's nothing to gather for. Except when, like, the Super Bowl this Sunday. But like the Super Bowl is one of those isolated, those are the only things that are going to make people come together. Fans and non-fans of it, because it's a big global event. No one's doing that for the Stanley Cup playoffs. No one's really doing that for the NBA playoffs. Even the NBA finals, no one's like, hey man, you coming over to watch game 3 tonight? No one's really doing that, if we're being completely honest about it. People more focus on whether Nikola Jokic is going to get 51 or above for points, rebounds, and assists. That's what people fucking care about. No one gives a fuck about the spinach queso dip. No one gives a fuck. Sorry. But yeah, it's just odd, man. Like, there's no urgency to get shit done, which I think has killed cable. Streaming has, I think, had a bigger effect than just the stuff we watch. It has affected our daily schedules, how we connect with people. No one is on a similar time plane, so no one really, like, has get together with the boys or ladies night out, because everyone's just in their own world. It creates isolation. It creates masturbation at all time high. I know it's kind of crazy to say, but hey, that would be odd get together. It's like, hey guys, you guys coming over? We're going to watch some Pornhub. and you're like, you know, I think that's something I'd rather do in my own time if I do. That would be wild, right? I don't know if that makes you sus, if you enjoy jerking with the boys. If you're jerking with the boys, but you're watching something that is considered normal and straight, what's wrong? I don't know. So yeah, here's your fun thought of the day. Yeah, I'm unhinged as fuck. Woohoo! Yeah. Where's my phone? Yeah, you know, I just think it's important to, regardless of what's going on, how confident or unconfident you feel, just to, you know, keep pushing. Keep pushing. Trust the process. And yeah, I will tell you what I do notice. I do notice there is this odd thing. I notice patterns and stuff. I'm very pattern focused, you know. I notice with YouTube as a smaller channel, it takes, I know the exact amount of time before it actually starts getting pushed relatively to my level. Like, the first day, you're not going to get much of any push. And then, like, 18 to 20 hours in, you'll start getting a little bit. And then it'll be, like, day two and a half is when you'll get the most push and impressions. It's like a delayed thing. And then by the time you get that push, you're already putting out something else. And once you put out something else as a smaller channel, there's very, until you get to some point, there's very little of people coming back of your other stuff getting pushed, because it's really only going to push out one thing at a time until you can prove that you have multiple videos and simultaneous watching. And so it is kind of like this weird thing where I hate seeing this. There's this common YouTube trend, and you know, I get annoyed. Like, there was the longest time, people that tile their videos, and I've done it before to an extent, but I did it when actually someone required it. They'll be like, I'm 28 and I have no friends and not married, you know, or I'm 30 years old and I just quit my $150,000 a year tech job. What's next? You know, it's, and now there's this thing where YouTube is on easy mode, right? And look, as a small creator at this point in time, it's not like, it may be easier than years ago, I guess. I don't know. But it's funny when the people say, dude, just follow this, you get views instantaneously. It's easier than ever. And you look at the video, you look how many views, how long it's been out, and you're like, you got less views than me. And this shit's been out for 3 weeks. What do you mean shit's on easy mode? It's proven it's not. You gotta look at the source of your information. Like, you know, you can't take this podcast as, you know, RFK type of sourcing. But if the video you're watching is teaching you about how to get views, and it's been out for enough time for it to get views, and it has less views than you, and you don't get many views, you're probably watching the wrong video. Or what they're telling you is BS. And they just want you to feel better. Because, you know, at this point in age, people just want to feel like they're not wasting the time, you know? And, you know, going back to watching videos of people getting demonetized, I watched this lady. I kind of felt bad for her because she actually had videos that got views. She actually got paid very well for a brief period of time. She got demonetized because she was double dipping. She started another channel, started taking clips. She started reposting videos on her one channel onto another, taking clips from it, double dipping. And when you're monetized, you're double dipping. YouTube's like, hey, we don't like that. And she got demonetized. And I think she may have got remonetized. But that's got to be scary. Like, you work years and years to naturally build your channel to get monetized, to start making money. And then there's like, hey, we're taking that away from you because you try to use your own shit. And that's the crazy part. And you got people out here stealing content, like I was talking about earlier, posting clips. And really, the only thing that's keeping alive is the person just doesn't want to deal with it. So they're just like, keep doing it. You're helping me more than anything. But, yeah. It's fun times we're living in. I would say the moral of today's pod is stay optimistic. To do anything in this life, you know, not to become Uncle Colin here, who just bought a place in Chicago, and goddamn, that thing's a palace. It is kind of like, Colin Cowherd has a network called The Volume. He works for Fox Sports. He just literally, I don't know if he bought or an exchange or the contract was up, but he literally took his co-worker's podcast and is now it's on his network while they both still work for Fox Sports. Now, I'm pretty sure there's some genuine good business here. You know, Colin's like, hey, FS1, you guys got a lot going on. I'm just going to take this podcast away from you, and we are not going to make a big deal about it because you guys got your own legal shit, so you're going to let me have this. You know what my belief about Colin Cowherd, he's one of my favorite personalities. He really inspired me. I have a couple of his books that I've read some of it. I think he's a fascinating thing because he really could have a radio show about anything, just about anything, and it would be entertaining because there's a common thing he does with real life analogies connecting it, humanize it. He does sports, right? But it doesn't feel like you're just listening to some meathead or some dumbass that lives in that whole, oh, championships are everything type of thing. Like, actually has a real point of view, unique perspective. He's entertaining, has the ability not to take himself too serious, but has real serious perspectives on things. And to me, I really think he's probably gonna work at Fox. I think he probably just renewed a deal, so I don't know how long this is gonna be, but I really think he's on the trajectory of, it's either gonna be, I think his radio show is going to decrease in terms of hours. I think he's going to go down to a couple hours maybe. I think after 2 or 3 years, I think he's going to be done with it. And that's sad to hear. He's literally one of my favorite personalities. And I think he's like, once we start making this money off The Volume, or he sells The Volume or merges in business and they like focus on that, I think he's just going to be podcasting where he could talk about whatever. Not live in a sports bubble. He could talk about what he wants without being under an umbrella. And for me, I think that's, I would be happy to see that. Because when you look at the numbers online, it's pretty insane. There are whole ESPN networks. It is a brief thing. You got to pay attention to this type of stuff, right? ESPN has rights to the Pat McAfee show. So they put clips out on their own or they'll put it on NFL on ESPN, a smaller channel. So they try to use Pat McAfee clips to build that channel. Let's just call it what it is. And they'll take clips from his channel because they have the right. They'll put it on that channel and it'll get significantly less views than when they put out clips on the Pat McAfee show. Because ESPN, even though... Uh-oh, that shit just went out. Uh-oh. Yeah, even though Pat McAfee is... I had to look at the subscribers again, but he's getting 70, 80, 100K sometimes on live streams on YouTube, which is insane. Like, people don't realize how insane that shit is. And Pat McAfee knows he's doing more for ESPN. Their ESPN is trying to use his program to build their platform up. When really, I would honestly say he's much more pop. He's just as popular. I would argue even not as popular than before ESPN. Like, that's crazy to say. Like, ESPN is holding him back. They need him for views, and they're trying to clip farm his channel to build up these other channels. But yeah. That's stuff you gotta pay attention to. Going back to Colin, I think he sees that type of stuff. He's like, FS1 is using me more to keep their network more relevant in sports. Because they do all this hot take sports. His is still the main thing on FS1. I do not care about the Breakfast Ball. First things first, I don't watch it, but it is a pretty big show. No one cares about the facility. No one cares about Speak unless Joy Taylor's busting it down on someone. No one really cares. Like, that's God honest truth. The volume may not have, like, well, Shay Shay, Club Shay Shay, and the Nightcap is under the volume. All that is under the volume. Well, Club Shay Shay, I'm not 100%, but Nightcap is definitely under the volume. And now they got Nick Wright. So they're building with the big names. Plus they got John Milkoff, who's pretty damn good. They got Jason Tint for basketball. They got a few different ones that are like actually pretty damn good. And I think he sees that like, oh, Fox Sports needs me. He's getting better numbers on the volume than most of the shows on FS1 under a big umbrella. So yeah. I'm going to end it there. That was today's episode of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Over to like, follow, comment, subscribe, and the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Have a great day, morning, night, evening. And just continue following your dreams. And life will be good. So yeah. Have a good one.